here in Isaiah 45. Fantastic passage. Remember this section, basically chapter 44 through 48 or so, is God emphasizing who He is and that He is the only God. There is no other God, as He said over and over, we've already seen. Tonight He's emphasizing that He is the only way to be saved. Praise the Lord. Even in the Old Testament. Notice verse 22. Look unto Me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by Myself, the word has gone out of My mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto Me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. So I'd like to entitle the message, Look Unto Me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit to use the powerful word in our hearts this evening. I pray that You'll help my voice to hold up. And Lord, that You'll just do amazing things in our hearts. We believe in the power of Your word. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, tonight we just want to please and glorify You and lift You up. So we pray that each of us would open our hearts and hear from You and respond as You would have us to, that You might be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll stop at the first word. What a great word. Look. Look. That reminds us, of course, of what happened in Numbers chapter 21. Let's turn back there, where God gave one of the most beautiful illustrations of salvation in the Bible. And we can confidently say that that is true because it is the one Old Testament illustration that Jesus chose to use to picture salvation in John chapter 3. And that was the fiery serpent on a pole, or the brazen serpent on a pole, sorry. Numbers 21, notice verse 9. The Bible says, Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. When he looked. He didn't have to recite anything. He didn't have to do anything, per se, works. He had to look. He had to behold. Now, if you go to John chapter 3, we'll see where Jesus Christ used this event to say that it was the best illustration of what He would do on the cross. Notice John 3:14. Most of us know 16, but do we know 14 and 15? Which says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now this word look, the Bible says all they had to do was look at the serpent on the pole. Now they had to believe, of course, that the serpent could heal them or they wouldn't have looked. You know, they could go out and search for a snake bite kit or whatever and die. Because these weren't normal snakes. These were supernatural snakes that God sent as punishment for their behavior. And all they had to do was look. Do you know that's all we have to do to get saved? Jesus just said it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We need to look to Jesus Christ for our salvation. There's no other place to look. There's no other place where we're going to find salvation but in Jesus Christ. And that's what God said here. Look unto Me, He says. We get to the New Testament. Jesus in John chapter 10, if you want to turn there, says the same thing. Jesus didn't come to the earth to say, look over here or look over there. He came to the earth to say, look to Me. Because Jesus said He was the only solution to our sin problem. John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is not one of the doors. Jesus is the door. And of course we know John 14, 6, where He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Jesus didn't say He's one of the ways. He said He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the door. God says, look unto Me. Don't look unto anyone else or anything else. Only can we be saved if we look unto God. and His way. Jesus Christ is the only way. He says, look unto me here in Isaiah 45:22, and be ye saved. Now that word saved shows up in the Bible over 300 times. That's a big word for us as Christians, amen? To be saved. We've been talking about this in Awana for weeks. Saved from what? If somebody needs saved, there's obviously something that is going to cause them to perish. And that, of course, John 3:16, should not perish but have everlasting life. We're saved from the consequences of our sin. We're saved from sin itself, but only God can save. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. God says, look unto me and be ye saved. Now that John 3, we know verse 16, verse 17 says, for God sent not the Son of the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We can only be saved by looking to the Lord. His way is the only way. By looking to the Son of God, who hung on that cross to pay for our sins, died and rose again for our eternal life. Look unto me and be ye saved. Back to our verse, Isaiah 45:22. Look what he says next. All the ends of the earth. It's a beautiful verse. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There is no one that God doesn't want saved. He wants everyone saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. God wants everybody saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ came that everyone could be saved. Again, John 3, for God so loved the world. Everybody. So he says here, look unto me and be saved. All the ends of the earth, everybody can be saved. Hallelujah. Which is why we need to do our best to tell as many people as we can. Because God wants them all saved. All the ends of the earth. God wants everyone saved. And then he finishes the verse by saying, for I am God, and there is none else. Now he has said this a number of times. He says it in Isaiah 43, Isaiah 44, Isaiah 45, Isaiah 46. I am God, and there is none else. In other words, there is only one true God, and that is the God of the Bible. Which means Buddha is not God. Allah is not God. Only the God of the Bible is God, Jehovah. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, he says, I am the only God. Now, if you look at 1 Timothy 3, Jesus Christ, if He is the only one who can save us, if He is the only way to heaven, if He's the door and the way and the truth and the life, 1 Timothy chapter 3, if that be the case, then Jesus has to be God. Because God just said, I am the only God and I am the only way, but Jesus Christ is the way. So 1 Timothy 3:16 puts that to rest for us, which says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The modern Bibles say, he who was manifest in the flesh. Kind of different. God was manifest in the flesh. Our God, our Creator, it's really amazing when you think about it, who made the universe, cared enough about us to become a man himself. It's the most amazing story. That's why it's called the gospel. He became a man himself that he might die as our substitute. It's just amazing that God would love us that much. But he is the only one. You know, how many times do we hear people say, well, that's just one of the ways to heaven. They can say that all they want. It makes them feel better. It's just not true. And we're not being bigoted or close-minded. We're just being biblical in believing that our Creator only made one way to heaven. He did it Himself. And so to say that there's another way is to say that there's something that could be equivalent or as powerful as the death of the perfect Son of God and His shed blood. What are we going to compare to that? What are we going to offer that even comes close to that? There's nothing. I mean, the Bible says even our righteousness are as filthy rags. So God is making it ever so clear in this verse, even in the Old Testament. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Go back to our passage in verse 23. He says, I have sworn by myself. What does that mean? He's God. What else can He swear by? He's perfect. He's holy. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He says, I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. I think this is exciting what God is saying. He's saying that the Bible is exactly what He wants us to have, that we might find Him and find eternal life. He gave us exactly what we needed. He says, I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. I've given you what you need in the word to be saved. The Bible is exactly the way and the size and so forth that God wanted us to have. He told us in Titus 1:2 that He cannot lie. And of course, we're told in Hebrews 6:13 that He swear by no greater, He swear by Himself. But if you would look at John chapter 20, I want to show you that God makes it ever so clear that when He gave us the Word, He gave us all of the Word that He wanted us to have, and it was exactly what we need to find God. Verse 31 of John 20. But these are written, what? The Word. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. These are written. Because just before that, He tells us, He says that if everything were written, verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in the book. So not everything that Jesus did and said is written down. But what God deemed what we needed is written down. Now look at the next chapter, the last verse of John 21:25. He says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What a statement. The world itself cannot contain the books, the Bible says. So it should just make us treasure this book even more. That this is exactly what He wanted us to have. And we have it. There's still people in the world that don't, in their own language, but we do. And it should just make us treasure it that much more, because God said, it's going out of my mouth in righteousness, it's not coming back. It's out there. It's what you need. It's how you can find me. It's how you can find salvation. Now look at Isaiah 55. I think we looked at this morning. But God, again, making it ever so clear that He is, or that His Word will accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. You say, well, why isn't everybody going to heaven then? The Word was given so that everybody could know about God and how to get saved and spend forever with God. But God gave man a free choice. And it's up to us whether or not we believe and trust Christ and get saved. But if a person hears the Word of God and rejects the gospel, the Bible has still accomplished what God wanted to accomplish in that person's life, and that was they got to hear about Jesus. Now, whether they choose to get saved, that's not God's perfect will, but God's not going to force it to happen because He gave us a choice. Notice Isaiah 55:10, or actually verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God's word is exactly what He wanted us to have. It will accomplish what He wanted it to accomplish. And let's face it, it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's powerful. Which is why we need to give it. And somebody was asking me last week, they were talking to a workmate, and the workmate isn't sure about God and so forth, but willing to listen. And my advice was, give him as much of the word as you can. If he's willing to listen, give him the word anyway. Because there's power in the word. And the Holy Spirit can take that power and grab his heart and convict him of his need for salvation. So it's not that we're meant to be out there trying to argue for Christ, although sometimes we do have to convince people. But we're to give the word. If they'll listen, then the Holy Spirit can take that powerful word and work in their lives. So give it. Just give it and trust that it has the power to do what it needs to do. That's what God is saying. I gave it. I gave you what I wanted you to have. I spoke in righteousness. It's not going to come back. It's exactly what man needs. And then he finishes, go back to our passage, by saying, in the end, everyone's going to acknowledge all of these things to be true. Even the unsaved will have opportunity to acknowledge that God is God, and that He's the only God, and that He's the holy God, and then they'll be cast into hell. But they're going to bow. They're going to bow at His power, His majesty, His glory. They'll have no choice but to bow. But they're not bowing to get saved. They're bowing because they have to bow, because they're in the presence of Almighty God. And then the Bible says they're cast into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. So much better to bow here, amen, than at the white throne. Look at Romans chapter 14, where we're reminded about this promise that the one God, who is the only way to salvation, who gave us exactly what He wants us to have, who wants everybody saved, one day every knee will bow to Him. Romans 14, verse 11, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is... Well, that's not the verse I wanted. No, it's because I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 11, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee, every tongue. Now the Bible says down here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here's the time to confess, amen, down here, and to bow and acknowledge He is the true God. He is the only way. Confess that Jesus Christ died for us and rose again. Here's the place to do that, because then we don't have to be at the judgment at Revelation 20. Then we get to be at the judgment at 1 Corinthians 3. But let's look at the judgment at Revelation 20, where we see this actually fulfilled, which is still future, of course, after the kingdom. How far after the kingdom? We don't know for sure. But the beginning of the chapter tells us about the kingdom, and then since it's laid out chronologically, then eventually comes this judgment. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now we all understand who the dead are. They're those who are separated from God, the unsaved. So it looks like we aren't there. Hallelujah. Stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, just the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, not the book, but the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead, and the death and hell, and so forth. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, God made it so clear, even in the Old Testament. And eventually we're going to get to chapter 53, the gospel in the Old Testament, where God even told us that someone was going to die for our sins and suffer for us on our behalf. But it all comes down to look. Look unto me, God says. Don't look anywhere else. Look unto me and be ye saved. Who? All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. There is no other way but God's way, and that is Jesus Christ. I have sworn, he says, I have sworn by myself. I've given you exactly what you need in the Word of God. So what do we need to do? Well, for starters, we need to hear it and believe it, which we've done if we're saved. Then what do we need to do? Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life. Take it and tell others about it. Holding this forth to the lost. Because every knee is going to bow to the one true God. Every tongue is going to confess to the one true God. And that was in the Old Testament. Here we have the New Testament. We have Jesus Christ. We have His death. We have His burial. We have His resurrection. We have the Holy Spirit's indwelling. We have so many things that they didn't have then, and yet God made it so clear even then. There is no other way but Jehovah. Doesn't it make you thankful to be saved? Praise the Lord. Let's pray.